It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the walls, ladies and gentlemen, and we have run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm Mel. Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Good evening, everybody. Doc Young, Les Thatcher here with you at Wrestling Weekly. October 30th show. Our guests tonight are Adam Martin and Sean Oliver. And before we get to the show, I want to give a great, big, healthy, happy birthday to my good friend and broadcast homie, Les Thatcher.
Okay. Well, it's 2 days late.
I know. Your birthday was on Sunday, but
we didn't
have a show, and I didn't get to speak to you over the weekend.
Okay. I thought you'd be mad at me because my birthday is on the same day as Chrissy Hemme's birthday.
It is? Wow. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, Dave Meltzer posted it on his site, and some guys on Kayfabe Memories wished me happy birthday, and Rich Tate on Georgia Wrestling History. But anyway, it's okay. I didn't see anything on Wrestling Weekly. But, hey, I'm cool with it.
I'm going to have to talk to that webmaster about that.
Well, I don't know. It's like there's things on my website that aren't there, too. So
that's true.
Yeah. But, of course, never mind. I'm not going to start on that.
We're going to start off tonight bad, aren't we?
No, we're not starting off bad. I made a statement. Dave Meltzer sent me a happy birthday, and Rich Tate.
I decided to save it for when we're on the show, Les.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That's all. So tomorrow it'll be plastered.
Huh?
So tomorrow it'll just be plastered everywhere.
Well, okay. 3 days late. Whatever.
As we said, Adam Martin's going to be here tonight. He is the webmaster of WrestleView.com. He's going to join us for Hot Topic. Sean Oliver of Kayfabe Commentaries is going to be with us. And he's got this new guest booker DVD, which is awesome. It's with J.J. Dillon.
Yeah.
And we're gonna talk more about that when he comes on. But the big news, I guess, this week, Les, is no Jericho.
Is that the big news?
Chris Jericho, not at Cyber Sunday, not at Raw.
Did anybody promise him to you?
Exactly.
Huh?
This is what I wanted to get into.
Did anybody actually promise it?
Nobody actually promised this.
Okay, then.
Everybody assumed. And I read something, and I saw a discussion on a message board probably yesterday or today about the Torch. Wade Keller, the editor of the Torch, was I guess what he thinks is that they pulled it because, you know, the internet leaked it, and it was a punishment of sorts. That's the whole conspiracy theory, in my opinion, though.
Who's the punishing?
Jericho fans? People who watched Raw to see Jericho last night?
I think my punishing yourself. I don't know.
That's another good point.
Maybe most people wouldn't rather see him than Hornswoggle. I'm not sure. I would, but then, hey, what do I know? Or him instead of a diva costume battle royal.
Yeah.
Hey, what do I know?
Exactly. But
you'd want to see a talented wrestler instead of, no. Why?
The last hype video, the mysterious cryptic message promo.
You know what? I didn't see the first one. I haven't seen the last one. But this, I can tell you, I saw the, you know, all this. It created a stir initially, but it hadn't created anything recently, has it?
Actually, this was all part of it. And a lot of why a lot of people thought that Jericho was going to be at Raw last night and not Cyber Sunday is because, first of all, when the videos first came out, it would say, Save Us. I believe it was 2.22. Then they changed, and it said 2.29. But the last one said X.29, so everyone thought October 29th, Raw. Didn't happen. Was it not supposed to happen? Was it planned and then changed? We don't know.
I don't know either. And you know what? I don't know if this makes me special, but I may be the only human being that doesn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't.
You don't care that Jericho's coming back?
No, I didn't see, you know, the cryptic messages. I didn't mm-hmm. sit up all night trying to decipher them.
Does it take all night?
I actually tried to do something productive in my life.
It doesn't take all night to look at it.
Well, you know what? 15 minutes. Honestly, it could have been a bad edit on a tape. I don't know. No, it didn't do anything for me. That makes me stupid or smart. I don't know, but it didn't do anything.
You
for
weren't
me,
a big fan of the Matrix either.
So
were
I'm
you?
Not. So I'm not missing anything. When he appears, he will appear.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't, it's just more their bad than it is mine.
But I think it's a really cool, you know, viral marketing campaign that they're doing right now with this, and nothing's promised. No, nobody ever promised you Jericho.
I said that.
Right.
Okay. I just wouldn't have sure Echo or what.
I'm just saying nobody promised Jericho. Nobody promised when, but everybody is talking about it, and that's the whole point, I think. Was it a good idea, do you think, to not do this last night or not do this at Cyber
Sunday?
You know
what? I really haven't thought about it. I mean, when I say that, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I just haven't thought about it one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, when they're ready to debut him, they will debut him. Mm-hmm. I would think that, you know, the sooner the better. I don't know.
And you you know Jericho. You like Jericho.
Yes. I didn't say I'm not saying I don't like Chris or that he's – in fact, they can use all the good talent they can get their hands on.
Absolutely.
That goes for either company. But, again, I hadn't, you know, I hadn't set up nights worrying about it.
Did you get to
I'm sorry if I ruined anybody's – Tuesday night, but I...
Did you get to see Raw last night at all?
Yeah, I did. That's what I said. Why would I rather see Chris Jericho wrestle than see a Diva costume battle royal? Or Hornswoggle and Coachman? Gosh, I don't know.
Wow.
Well,
I think that was the whole thing about the, you know, the whole Jericho disappointment is that if they actually had a decent show last night, I think people wouldn't have been so mad, but there were a lot of people mad out there today.
But see, I've resigned myself to the fact that it's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I DVR'd, and you know, there's a football game that had some excitement in it last night. Dancing with the Stars was pretty exciting to me because I like seeing these people rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some exciting things to watch. Did I care that they were going that they teased a 7,000th handicap match?
No.
Do I think that it's smart that the lead babyface? Well, I just got my ass handed to me by these two guys a couple weeks ago. I think I'll go back out and be a dumbass and let them hand me my ass again.
Right.
No, I didn't get excited about that, and I didn't care, and I didn't watch it, and I didn't. Like I say, Coachman and Hornswoggle might be, if I were thinking of the worst 10 million matches I ever could see, that might be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But so I didn't see it because I had something better to watch.
Right.
Do I care about some scantily clad ladies who can barely walk and chew gum at the same time? No, don't think so. I'm not sleeping with any of them, so I don't know the excitement there either.
Right.
And fantasies are a dime a dozen. So for those of you at 12 years old who are into that, I think that's cool. And how did you like the Fantasy Battle Royal?
Well,
speaking of 12-year-olds.
It was okay.
Okay. Your hands kept busy.
But we won't talk about that.
We sure won't.
Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
That's one of the things about having a birthday created. I've had enough of the real thing. I don't need that.
What are you trying to say, Les? After
I'm
the show tonight.
I'm not trying to say anything. I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for anybody else.
what do you think about Shawn Michaels, Triple H? It seems like, once again, DX is being teased. And at the dark match main event after Raw was basically, Shawn Michaels and Triple H taking on Randy Orton, Umaga.
I think that's supposed to be the main event for the next pay-per-view. That foursome. That's what I think. Yeah. I don't know that to be a fact, but that's my surmation.
You think they're going to do this again, third go-around with DX?
Probably for no other reason than the two of them can work. The cheap bathroom humor I'm not excited about again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm past 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
So that's not a big the thing about being played with under the table that I saw the last time around for DX. No, doesn't do anything for me. But I'm, what else? See, that's the other thing. A reason I said, that maybe if they're holding Jericho off, it's not to anybody's it's not to their benefit,
mm-hmm.
For doing it. I think it's, actually it's more harmful to them in terms of ratings than just anybody else. They're doing a lot of so-so things because they're not deep on talent. Do I care about Morella and Maria? I don't think so.
Do you like Morella's promos at least?
Huh?
Do you like his promos at least?
I don't see why you waste a lot of time with him.
Mm-hmm.
If he could work, it might be a different thing. No, I if I want to see good comedy, I can I can find a lot of things to watch.
Right.
I don't watch wrestling for good comedy. In fact, there isn't any. So if that was the only place to look for good comedy, I would ever see it. I would never see any. I'll spit it out in a minute.
Right.
No, I just, I'm not being negative just for this, it's not the old man on a rant. I'm really resigned to the fact that the product is not real good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't watch what I don't want to see.
Right.
That's what my DVR is for, thank God.
thank
God Brett Favre was on last night.
Right. Music news, as far
music
as wrestling.
News.
Lillian Garcia. Her new Spanish CD that came out. Everybody remembers the on Raw and SmackDown. She had a little live concert.
Yeah, I saw a bit of that.
Which is okay for what it is, and I don't think she's a bad singer.
Okay, but again, let's see, is this Aretha Franklin?
Right.
I don't think so.
No.
No. Okay. Well, okay then. I've got plenty of I've got plenty of CDs of Aretha and Tina Turner, so and I've had enough of the real thing that I don't need to sit and find things to do with my hands while I'm listening to that.
Apparently,
apparently we're passing on that.
I'm no selling that, Les.
Huh?
I'm no selling that. By the way.
I know.
But apparently the music.
But that's the only thing. What I'm saying is, no, she's not a bad singer. I'm just, she's not. She's not Brooke Hogan, but then she's not Aretha Franklin either.
Right. Lillian Garcia's Spanish CD is performing very poorly, according to news reports.
That kind of answers the question.
Exactly. The album kind of tanked in the first week, showing up at number 38 in the Latin pop charts. Sales are basically meaningless, given the fact that most of the U.S. stores, such as FYE and Best Buy, are not even carrying the album. So it's not good news for Lillian. But
there's an old joke, and I mentioned this to somebody the other day. Fred Blassie used to say, I had a chance to sleep with Raquel Welch.
Mm-hmm.
No, Fred, you're kidding. Well, no, not really. He said, I was in Hollywood with an erection. I just couldn't find it. So there is lies, hey, Doc Young cut a CD.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Doc Young. Any garage, I mean, you know, there's a show on called, you know, America's Best Band now, right? And
right.
It's worth watching, but Sheila E. is one of the judges. And she used to play with Prince, and I like Prince. You know, but there's some, I mean, there's some really good bands on there, I think, you know. And there's some really whacked out groups on there, too. But I'm just saying, you know, there. I mean, there's so many musicians, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to get lost in the shuffle unless you're, well, you know, Brooke Hogan had all that exposure on the Hogan Knows Best, right?
Right.
What did that sell?
That might have even be detrimental to her because people didn't see her as a musician. They saw her as Hogan's daughter. But her music, to what I listened to,
I think there's a lot of actors over the years, and I could name some that probably the demographic of our listening audience wouldn't know who the hell I was talking about if I named them. But, I mean, when Jennifer Lopez first started with that, then, oh, here's another actress with his music, right?
Absolutely.
But there's been, I don't have enough hands, fingers, and toes to count all the actors and actresses in my lifetime that have recorded it once and gone away.
Patrick Swayze.
Bruce Willis.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's true.
True.
Bruce Willis, you know, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like I say, I can go way, way back. Tab Hunter, who probably nobody's listened to the show's ever heard of before.
So do you think Lillian's put in this position where it's like, oh, she's just the raw announcer?
No, I just think there's so, you know, you've got to have, I think in the music industry, you've got to have the right, you've got to have, I don't know what it is. I, capital T, is.
Right.
But I think you've got to have that, and you've got to have a promotional machine behind you that's going to put you on major stations and major markets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that, I don't think it, you know, I mean, you might get lost in the shuffle, and I think that's part of the, you know, part of the deal.
Right.
And of course, you got to realize she's a niche performer in a niche market.
Right.
Because the Latin market in this country, well, it's big, you know, it's, but it's not as big as your, you know, Billboard's top 40, is it?
Right. It's decent, but it's, I mean, it just is completely overshadowed by, you know, top 40 English
and
music.
There are groups, you know, that I can't think of a name off the top of my head that I've heard of that I know were big in those particular markets over periods of time. Well, we're talking about Jennifer Lopez, the movie she played, Selena?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Now, she was a big Latin American market.
Yes.
Hold a gun to my head and tell me to name something that Selena's recorded? I'm sorry, you have to blow my brains out, what's left of them.
Right.
Because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You get my point?
Yep.
Okay. So
big fish,
little pond. Yeah, I think that's the deal. You
mm-hmm.
know?
WWE SmackDown is once again airing in Italy. Italia One canceled the show following the Benoit family tragedy this summer, saying they felt that wrestling was bad for kids. SmackDown has seen resurgence in popularity amongst children stemming from the Italian wrestling boom of the past 2 years. WWE worked out a deal with Sky Pay-Per-View to broadcast SmackDown now. The Sky service broadcasts all the WWE pay-per-view live, as well as all the WWE television shows. So that's one.
I wouldn't disagree with the children thing. Jeff Jarrett's dad, Jerry, said he didn't want his grandchildren watching either company.
Right.
And there's times I wouldn't disagree.
There were times I had to yank my daughter from the television.
Well, I think you talk about tasteless stuff is you know, Morella making a joke about Tom Hanks at AIDS in Philadelphia is tasteless as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I think last week on TNA of Angle telling his wife to go sleep with Kevin Nash.
Mm-hmm.
So Nash wouldn't whip his butt is tasteless, you know, and stupid, and nobody believes to start with. So
right.
You've wasted a lot of your two-hour time anyway.
Sometimes
I think the one thing that that can be said, if we're talking about anything actually pertaining to professional wrestling here, is that The Undertaker carried a show on Sunday night. He crafted a hell of a match with Dave Bautista, and I'm not being smart ass here and taking anything away from David, but you know, if there's any young guys that are trying to get in the wrestling business or trying to make it in the wrestling business, here is a guy who has a gimmick that really should have a short shelf life. But the one thing about Mark Callis, he's learned psychology. He's learned to hide his own weak points and push his strengths. He's learned how to the ring psychology. He's learned how to put a match together and how to make it work without doing quadruple somersaults into a wet sponge.
Mm.
And to me, that's more important, and it's harder than the cheap pops,
right?
Than the flash in your genitals or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there's more, and when I say that, I'm not adverse to acrobatics in the wrestling business, but I think that's you know, most kids put the carts before the horse. In as much they want to learn how to do a 450 splash before they even know what a top wrist lock is,
right.
or how to apply one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Undertaker doesn't do any of that stuff, and can still, keep you into a match and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the art of our business. And while we're talking about arts, you know, and you're talking about DX and their toilet humor, and although both of those guys can work, they don't need that, but yet they, they go for it for whatever reason. But anyway, that's
'cause it worked 10 years ago,
huh?
Because it worked 10 years ago.
Yeah, okay. Well,
and 10 years
ago.
That,
I mean, and when I say this, I totally respect Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, but the costumes that they wore 20 years ago are kind of don't work for 50-year-old people.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't. You know?
Right.
You know.
The Wrestling Observer had some more information this week about Crystal Marshall's release. apparently, Bobby Lashley requested for Crystal Marshall to be moved to Raw so they could be on the same road schedule. Crystal, of course, a lot of people know, started dating Lashley when he worked the SmackDown tour as the ECW champion. Vince promised that she would be moved to Raw, but as far back as August, he had changed his mind on moving her. Crystal apparently also had heat because she would go to the writers and say that Teddy Long and Vicky Guerrero weren't satisfied with the angle that they were doing and the direction it was going in. Both of them claimed that they had no problem with the angle, and they think she was making things up. She also had some heats in regard to her matches at the house show. Agents didn't think she sold enough during her matches, and after she got pinned, she'd get up and wave and shake hands with the fans on the way to the back. Which I've seen this, Les, in the indies.
Well, you know what, we see it all the time. We see, and with the girls, as wrong as it is, I'm going to say, what's your point? Because who believes any of these girls are wrestlers to start with the exception of a few, Beth Phoenix, Victoria, Mickey James, Julian Hall, hold up your hand if you think any of the rest of them are actually in-ring performers. That's what I thought. I don't see any hands up.
Well, I think...
No, I mean they're not. Now, having been a bodybuilding judge
mm-hmm.
and judging fitness competitions and stuff, I'll say this. Crystal probably is the most symmetric, aesthetic young lady was on that roster
mm-hmm.
in terms of a physique, in terms of her body. Being symmetrical and aesthetic, in truth, but that's there. Obviously, that's neither here nor there anyway. And I know there was a diva crown last night. And if you held a gun to my head, I couldn't tell your name.
Me neither. Eve.
Huh?
Eve.
Who?
Eve.
Heath?
Eve.
Eve. Oh, okay,
yes.
Like in Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
I saw her flash across the screen. I said, okay, whatever.
I think everybody else did, too.
Well, I mean, but see, there again, there's something, and when I say this, you know, this is my opinion,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't, everybody can disagree with me or nobody can disagree with me, I don't care one way or the other. It's just that it's a meaningless segment. I don't think anybody really cares.
Be interesting to see what they're going to do with her, though.
Well, okay. Here on one hand and hold and keep your thumb down and three fingers and tell me how many of them have gone on to be big stars in this business.
Christy Hemme.
Oh, horse crap.
You think yeah.
She's not a big star.
And by the way, Les, next year...
And she's a horrible worker.
Next year, it's going to be me, you, and Christy Hemme for a big birthday celebration.
Yeah, right, okay.
Be there.
Yeah, right, okay. And you know what? And Doc, I hate to be negative, but I just don't see a lot to be positive about. Like I say, the Undertaker,
I know.
Undertaker-Batista match I'm positive about. I think, you know, but, I mean, it's like that whole, when I say, hey, well, Triple H is going to go for another handicap, the 9,000th handicap match we've had this year. Who mm-hmm. cares? And if you get your butt handed to you once, why would you go back a second time?
Right.
I mean, that's like... Sylvia saying, well, I'm going to fight Liddell and Couture both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is not is he brave, is he just totally stupid? Is he on drugs? Is he out of his friggin' mind?
Right.
Because there's no logic to that, right?
You're right. And
here's another thing while we're talking about you had two of the top stars of their generation for a world title match last Thursday night, draw a 1 rating, and you had to have a run-in. Now, if those two guys can't craft a clean finish and make that title, which is relatively new, mean something, and if that didn't send a message to somebody, I'm not sure, you know, and it probably didn't.
Unfortunately, probably not.
What?
Unfortunately, probably not. But the...
No, but I'm just saying, you know, and the match was meaningless. Hey, they did it last week on pay-per-view. This week they're going to do it for free. Okay, how important is it? Well, not really. We can't have a clean finish. We've got to have a run-in. We've got to have controversy. Okay, but you do that, and you did that in the match before, and you did that in the match after it. And you did 6 matches before it and 6 matches after it. So who gives a damn?
Mm-hmm.
It's just all run together, and none of it means anything. Now, that's for those of you listening or on the in the chat room. That's not Les picking on TNA. That's me picking on the business I've been in, I have spent my adult life in, and it's not a pretty sight. It's a lack of creativity. It's a lack of foresight. It's just the business is in bad shape. And you know what? It's not just my generation. I talk to people 30 years old who. When I'll say something about a particular show, and they'll say, you know, I don't watch that much anymore.
Right.
Why? Well, there's not much to watch.
Right.
I was emailing with a friend of mine from Minneapolis today, and he said he hasn't watched much in months except old tapes, and he listens to our show and keeps track of what's going on currently. I was listening to an audio on Insider today, and Dave Shearer mentioned that some fans say, well, we don't watch Raw anymore. We don't watch Impact anymore. But we listen to, we listen to the audio segments or read the reviews on Insider to find out what's going on.
Right.
What does that say for this industry as a whole?
I got to tell you, I think it boils down to the saturation of the shows or
well,
the entire industry.
It boils down to everything is being done. Overdone and done again and done and done and done over, and it means it's meaningless.
Because it happens too much. There's too many shows.
That's what I just said, didn't I?
Yes.
That's what I mean. It's useless. It's meaningless. A handicap. Well, you know, I did an audio on PW Insider a couple weeks ago with Mike Johnson, and I said, he's a big ECW fan. I said, you remember the first three-way dance? We called it a three-way dance because that was a phrase, I guess, that Paul Lee coined or something. But everybody, the three-way dance in the ECW pay-per-view. Who was all that? Was Sabu and Shane Douglas and Terry Funk.
Right.
And it was an important match.
Mm-hmm.
And how many thousands of three-way, four-way, six-way? Well, there's one or two every week on Impact.
Right.
Who cares? Nobody.
There's no time to look forward to anything.
Well, there's nothing to let me tell you. I've said this on this show. I know I've said it before. But an old-timer said to me years ago, kid, when you go to a strip joint, the girls don't come out with their clothes off and put them back on because there's nothing to anticipate.
Right.
And when you give me you give me all your crap every week, then what the hell is there to look forward to?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I am definitely of the team that wants one show a week, one pay-per-view every 3 months. And
well, you know, now in defense of some of these people, and I use the term creative groups very loosely, because there's not a lot creatively, I don't think, is again they've got to serve the masters called the networks.
Yes.
And the networks could give a damn less about the pay-per-view buys because they're selling commercial time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at numbers.
Right.
And so, you know, but there's, again, we've talked about there's got to be a saturation point. Where is that saturation point? I don't know.
I think it's right now.
Well, but what I'm saying, I shouldn't say a saturation point. There should be a middle ground.
Right.
To where, you know, we've got to understand, listen, excuse me, but we've got to sell. Okay, you know, it's like Bound for Glory was a good pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
They had some decent matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But do you realize how heavily that was papered to put 4,000 people in that building?
Yep.
What does that say? And you got to realize Sting was a big star in Atlanta, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And the Steiners were big stars there. Sting and Luger owned two gyms there. Speaking of Luger, which do you have the information about if anyone would like to help with his hospital? That I sent you via email.
We'll get that on the break.
Okay. Okay. The answer to that is no. For those of you who can't read between the lines,
the answer to that is no.
I don't have it. But I know Christy Hemme wore a short skirt. Okay. Anyway. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Anyway. No, but I mean, that's what this, you know, and now we've got 2 hours, okay,
mm-hmm.
but we're still pulling a 1 point,
right? Right.
Okay, so what's the value?
For TNA, none. For WWE, what I think it is.
Well, they've been weakened by by deaths, by injuries. I mean, it's been hell. I mean, but I understand, you know, and here's the thing, and I'm not sticking up for one or the other, but I'm saying I understand why they're putting stupid segments out there because the depth in the roster is not there any longer.
Right.
You know, no, do I see any value in Hornswoggle and Coach? No, I'm sorry, I don't, and I'm too old to, I don't watch Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote any longer either. And again, I'm not saying if you still watch that, that's cool, but I don't.
Right.
You know, it's out of my mentality reach.
Mm-hmm.
As dumb as I am, I'm past that for entertainment. And I don't watch Steve-O following WWE either. And nor if I ever do, I hope somebody puts a gun in my mouth and pulls the trigger. Because nothing could be any dumber than that. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know, and that's like the masturbation movies from college and high school that sell a lot of tickets. I don't buy those or watch the DVDs either.
Right.
Okay? Because I'm not fascinated by young men masturbating. I'm sorry. It's not a big show. It's not a big thing for me.
Right.
But anyway, I just, you know, but like I say, do I want to see Morella and Maria stand out there and say stupid things? No, I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you open a show and expect to hold an audience with a bunch of girls in Halloween costumes that cannot wrestle? No. Okay, but I'm just saying that. But then I also know that Edge is hurt and Michaels just came back and Helmsley just came back and this guy's out and that guy's out and, you know, so forth and so on. So I at least see a valid reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it entertains me or not, or whether I think it's a good idea or not, it's not even the point. But I see a valid reason for it.
Right.
Right.
I do have that address for you guys, for Lex Luger.
You know what? I haven't heard any reports on him of late. I guess he's got some movement, but I guess he's still in the hospital in San Francisco, as far as I know.
Last I heard that was that he still really couldn't move anything from the neck down. I don't know if it was complete paralysis.
That's scary, man.
But that was pretty much the last thing, and I think it's strange that nobody really is getting a lot of information about this.
No, and they say it wasn't a stroke or a heart attack.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, he obviously doesn't, you know, have any health insurance, and if anyone would like, go ahead, give that information, please, because I think this is this is valid. Having spent a little time around him, it's been over a year ago, I guess. You know, he's tried to clean his act up, as far as I know, you know, and get his act together. And, you know, so it's not like he's back on something heavy and this and that. But, you know, and I believe he's been involved in religion to a certain degree. And so I think, you know, it's legitimate that the guy needs some help. It's not like you're going to send him money to buy him more drugs or anything.
Right. And definitely, I mean, you got to remember that, there's no insurance on this.
Yeah.
The address for donations is GT Agency. G as in good, T as in Tom, Agency. 1901B East Atlantic Boulevard, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33060. GT Agency, 1901B East Atlantic Boulevard, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33060. And that's where you can send donations in cash for Lex. And hopefully he'll get well soon, man.
Yeah, that's something I wouldn't wish on anyone. That's a scary situation, man. It really is.
Absolutely.
And, let's hope that he does well.
For ECW's fans, just a quick little note. ECW's Elijah Burke is going to be taking part in a live broadcast of Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi this Wednesday. It's Halloween night, of course. WWE's website has an article up about it. For those who remember, ECW champion CM Punk took part in a live broadcast on Halloween last year. So you could probably look forward to this again this year, or next year. But
They've re-signed. They've got another year contract with Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes,
as well.
through 2008. So expect another ECW champ next year.
And I understand that Junior Fatu is no longer with TNA.
No, and I guess the whole thing is that, he kind of wanted some more money, and they didn't want to pay it out.
Well, see, and the bad business part of this, and this, let me say this, this is not, I have no fight with Junior, and I have no fight with the management people at TNA, but here's the deal. You've beaten some of your better people for him, and he's not under contract to you.
Right.
That's not good business.
No.
Because, now you've had, and you know, you put him over in this tournament, which doesn't mean a lot anyway, but, it's, and now he's taking a walk,
He's been replaced with Christian Cage in that tournament. And
you wasted that time, and thank God Pac-Man's gone.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
I think that's a waste of money.
I think that's what Fatu wanted, was he's like, hey, Pac-Man's gone, I want his money now.
Well, you know what, I don't know what they paid him, but whatever it was too much.
Yes.
And I don't care what they paid him. It was still too much.
Right.
He didn't draw them any people. He was of no value to them. He was no value to the show. Did he get a little mention on some different sports shows? Yeah, but it didn't do anything for their pay-per-views or their buy rates or their ratings.
No. Do you think it was worth the risk, though?
No. And talk about tasteless, him throwing money at that pay-per-view. I mentioned, that Morella's comment about...
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia with AIDS, which it's a deadly disease. Do you find something humorous about that? And then the fact that the guy managed the bar in Vegas, aside from the fact that he was one of the boys, he had been a wrestler, that he's paralyzed and will be in a wheelchair the rest of his life because this idiot was throwing money at the dancers, and then some of his people came back and shot the place up. Do I find that humor? Do I find humor in that? No, I don't.
No.
And when I say this, I've earned my living in this business all my adult life, and I'm not proud of these things. I'm sorry. If that makes somebody mad, then they'll just have to get mad. Mm-hmm. But I don't find it, I don't find it funny, and I don't find it valuable.
Right.
And I'm not proud to say I'm a part of that. Thank you.
All right. We are going to take a break, guys, and get
that old man off his soapbox, for Christ's sake.
Adam Martin is good.
I wish there was something good to talk about. I really do. Maybe Adam Martin's getting married or something. Maybe he's already married. I don't know.
Maybe for, April Fool's episode, we're going to say completely positive things.
That'll be
about
April
wrestling.
Fool, all right.
for just one night, we'll have a complete show that's dedicated to everything positive about wrestling.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I can't, you know. I really can't
blame you, but the hopeful guy in me is just hoping that things will turn around.
Well, you know what? I hope too, but if I don't see it happening, I can't, you know.
Right.
I can't say it is.
Right.
You know, I'm not Chicken Little saying the sky is falling, but I'm not in the road company of the Emperor's new suit either. You know, if you're naked, Doc, you're naked. I'm not going to tell you what a great suit you got on, okay?
Right.
And God, that's a picture I didn't want to draw. You naked. No, I'm sorry. I brought that up.
Les is going to wash that out of his mind while
yes,
we take a
is.
Break. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. The webmaster of WrestleView.com, Adam Martin, is going to be with us when we come back. He's going to join us for Hot Topics. Stick around.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Brooklyn. Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
On total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Yeah, baby, I know I'm hot and everything, but you just gotta check out Wrestling-Radio.com. They're hotter than ever before, with the latest news, videos, and exclusive interviews that you won't get anywhere else. It'll turn you on.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania, the largest arms in the world, run wild on you?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, baby. I'm gonna go right to wrestling-radio.com to hear shows like Heaven Legends, The Irish Whip, and Wrestling Weekly. It's unbelievable the amount of wrestling media they have on this website. There's so many wrestling radio shows, it will blow your head off.
If you want some, come get some.
Oh, I'm coming, baby. And it's not too bad either. It's right to wrestling-radio.com. Got to log on to check out all the stuff going on there. They're better than ever before. With their brand new ideas, wrestling-radio.com is guaranteed to take over the internet and revolutionize wrestling radio like never before.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wrestling-radio.com, revolutionizing wrestling radio for wrestling fans everywhere.
Mr. Kennedy!
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you on Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, joining us for a hot topic, he is the webmaster of WrestleView.com. Adam Martin is with us. Adam, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. I mean, I'm in college right now, so I just got done with midterms, so it's starting to calm down a little bit. But I have a nice little Thanksgiving break coming up here in the next couple weeks. But
so anything's good after midterms, right, Adam?
Yes, that drives me nuts. I got about another semester left of college. I'll thankfully have my 4-year degree in journalism, and I'll be done with all that wonderful stuff. So all that behind me.
So what we're going to talk about this week, I guess, this happened a couple of weeks ago, but it's still a big story, is this whole San Francisco convention.
Yeah.
Tell us what you know about this.
Well, it was a big story about a week, I want to say a week or maybe about 2 weeks ago now, I guess. I was right before Cyber Sunday, it was the weekend before. And just a big, big disaster they had brought in. It was kind of a 3-day thing, and what they wanted to do was they were going to promote a wrestling show. They were going to promote a mixed martial arts show, and then on Sunday, Ring of Honor was going to run at the venue. And there was hints from the beginning. I remember getting press releases about this stuff earlier in the year, and we were talking about this off the break, and I know Les was mentioning this. It just seems like this is going to be one of many, maybe this year. There's bound to be more things like this, but basically, it was going down in San Francisco at the Cow Palace, and there got some word out that a lot of the people, when they began arriving, they started to notice just how unorganized it was. And I had a few people call me and ask me if I knew anything about this, and I didn't really have a lot of knowledge about it because I had gotten press releases, but I didn't really have firsthand knowledge of who was doing what, and I just kind of had a list of people that I know that they booked that were supposed to be there.
Right.
And it started to get really interesting when, I think it was on Saturday, when they finally had to pull the plug on the mixed martial arts show because not enough tickets were sold, and a lot of checks started bouncing for not only mixed martial arts guys, but wrestlers as well. I guess there was a big fight involving Don Fry and the bodyguard for Leland Chaplin. If you guys know Dog the Bounty Hunter, his son is a mixed martial arts fighter in Hawaii, and he came up for the show, and I guess there was a big brawl there. And then I guess the promoters started to get confronted about a lot of these checks that were bouncing and, things were not going through. I heard one story. I mean, this is the great part about it, is that you just hear so many stories about this, and that's just what it made it so interesting. But I heard one story in particular where Roddy Piper demanded that one of the promoters get in a car with him, drive to a bank, and cash the check in front of his face to make sure nothing happened. And there was just various little examples. They had Steve Austin booked. They had a lot of TNA guys. Anybody that they booked well in advance were already paid and ready to go, but anybody that was booked and was told that they were going to get paid once they arrived didn't actually end up getting paid.
Mm.
And I know I mentioned to you that the Blue Meanie did a really, really good blog. It was a really long blog, but it was really interesting what he did, because he kind of ran down from start to finish when he arrived there, the chaos that he saw, that he was involved with, and how he saw a lot of people get just gypped out of money, and how he was asking people where he needed to be, where he needed to go, where he was going to be. A lot of guys were supposed to have their own booths. They were supposed to, have they just basically wanted instruction as to what table do I need to go to, where do I need to do this, and it became so confusing that a lot of people started to realize what was happening before it was too late. And I did hear one story where I guess Big Vito called a lot of the TNA wrestlers. I know Kevin Nash was booked to appear there. Scott Hall was supposed to be there. I know Kurt Angle was supposed to be there. I don't know if he got the word out, but he called a few people and said, listen, this guy has done this in the past. You know, you need to be very careful. I would suggest you just pulling out of this and not taking part. And anybody, like I said before, anybody that was you know, booked ahead of time, they were paid in advance. So they got their money that they were promised. Someone like Steve Austin and Eric Bischoff and people like that, they were paid in advance. So although they showed up and it ended up being just this big unorganized mess, they were still paid. But there was a whole crop of other guys that showed up, got their checks, and unfortunately they weren't paid.
Wow. I heard the TNA wrestlers got the guys who actually worked that, because that was paid in advance through the company, but that their time for autographs and stuff, was they were never compensated.
Yeah, a lot of things weren't compensated for. There was a lot of things, and it was funny because, and I know Blue Mini in particular, he kept confronting this guy, and his name escapes me again. I know you just told it to me off the air, Doc, but it was Chris Salisbury. Is that the name? Or
yeah.
Okay, well, and I guess he has many names that I guess we're not aware of. That
right.
May have been an alias, not his real name. But I guess Blue Mini was constantly confronting this guy, and he would give somebody an answer and walk away. And then I heard at one point he locked himself in his hotel room because he was getting so many questions and he didn't have any answers. And then one report said that he was spotted leaving with some other promoters at about 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday when the Ring of Honor show was supposed to go down. And the Ring of Honor show did end up going down, and I heard it was really good, but I don't know. It's a shame that things like this happen. I know that something like this happened, you know, a month or two ago in Indiana, and it's a very tricky thing when it starts off as a very, very good idea. You're going to get all these legends under one roof, and you know it has the possibility to be very good. But when you have so much money involved, and you know you have to trust the people that are promoting this, you know it ends up really not being a good idea for anybody getting involved. And I want to say that this will be a good example for the future with people that do, you know, get involved with conventions like these. But at the same time, you know, it may blow over in a couple months and people might forget about it, and then there might be another big convention coming. Although this one was pretty, I got to say, this had to have been one of the bigger ones that have been promoted in a long time. But yeah. I really hope that people in the business were paying attention to this one, because I'd hate to see this happen again and have guys get cheated out of money when they were, you know, paying a lot of money to get there in the first place.
You know, I went to the Fan Fest in Charlotte. That was the first part of August. And the wrestlers and media people, writers, webmasters sheet writers that I talked to, when the San Francisco thing came up, nobody could see how this guy was going to come out, short of being a multimillionaire and just doing it, you know, so he could rub elbows with these guys.
Right.
Or somebody said, well, he's booked everybody that's ever worn a pair of tights. And he did. There were people booked, my God. I think it was just if he happened to come across your name in a phone book, you know, you got called on this thing. But nobody could see how it was going to be possible for it to come out. And I think there's the biggest problem. These guys get into these, can you top this? You know, I was on the big, there were 83 of us at the deal in Tampa a couple years ago. And they never went past that. That was going to be a yearly thing. They were going to do it twice a year, three times a year in different cities. And after being there, I can't believe that they came out on that.
How did the Charlotte Fan Fest turn out? Did this guy do this?
Charlotte fans, they always seem to draw. But you know, part of that, I'm not sure how to say. It's a more intimate thing. And when I say that, realize that Charlotte, when it was in the '60s and '70s, and through the '80s, was not a. It's a much huger city now, but it was. The concentration, the entire Crockett promotion lived in Charlotte, North Carolina. There were 50, you know, usually 50 to 55 guys on the roster, and we all lived there. And so you might be standing in line in the checkout at the grocery store with the guy you watched on TV, or the guy you bought a ticket to watch wrestle at Park Center or the Charlotte Coliseum or wherever. But I think the unique thing about this is, like, this is my second one. I was at the first one, if it's 4 years ago, and this is the second time I've been there. But there were fans there that I met in the mid-60s. And they come because these were fans that we'd see maybe twice a week, you know, in different shots in the territory. They were like the boys. They were making the shots. But, I mean, but these people, they're not coming to get autographs necessarily, but they've already got all the pictures and memorabilia and stuff, but they just come to hang out,
right,
you know, with the guys. And, you know, so it's got a unique setting, whereas the thing in Tampa, they were like 83 guys. It was mass confusion most of the time. I think everyone got paid there. I know I did. But I can't believe that they made any profit on that. And obviously that's what these things should be for the promoters, is to show a profit. Hello?
Yeah, and that's the hard thing. It's like, I mean, these conventions look very, very attractive as a wrestling fan, and you want to go and you want to meet the guys that you grew up watching. And this one in particular, it just had this, I mean, I was surprised at some of the names that they were booking. Like, when they booked Steve Austin, I couldn't believe that.
Right.
And I was like, wow, they really, I mean, that's got to be expensive to book somebody like Steve Austin.
You know, Adam, it could have been different for this, but I'm under the impression, the last time that I heard, that for a three-hour autograph session, Steve got $25,000.
And it got entries. Oh, my God.
You know, so right there, how many VIP tickets? And, well, I'm not sure what the price of those VIP tickets were. I think $150 for the whole weekend or something, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but so, I mean, and I don't have a calculator right in front of me, but how many of those tickets alone do you sell just to pay him?
Right.
That was the thing. It's like, I mean, you saw the names that they booked, and it's like how – it almost just seemed like the promoters were going to do it for fun. And like you said, to rub elbows with these guys and – I mean, it's fun to get them all together and do stuff like that. I know Eric Bischoff was supposed to do this big dinner thing, and I guess by the time he was done talking, the food showed up really late and ended up being this big mess. And I don't know, it didn't even sound good to me. It sounded bad to me months and months before it even went down, and I actually thought they were lying when they had a lot of the names they would put out in the press releases. I thought they were just lying. And tickets. And then when it happened, I was just like, wow, these people might actually show up. And then when it happened, I mean, at the same time, I was surprised to see a lot of the stuff happening that wasn't wrestling related, like the mixed martial arts stuff. I mean,
right.
That was interesting just to see how you were putting – and that's a touchy subject in itself, and I heard that was one of the reasons why some of the fights went down. There was some scuffling, I heard, between some MMA fighters and pro wrestlers, and that got some stuff started. And that's always going to be a touchy subject anyways to begin with. But, you know, I thought that was interesting to book something like that together in the same venue. It's somewhat related, but I wouldn't put it in the same category.
Well, you know, but Don Fry, who supposedly got in the fight, Don has worked both sides of the street.
Yeah, that was the thing I liked about it, and I don't know if he was the because I mean he was one of the people who got, you know, kind of singled out, and I don't know if he was taking some heat from guys on both sides for having done both, and it just I don't know. I mean, it was so crazy to hear story after story after story, and I still don't know if most of it is true, if most of it was made up, because so much stuff came out, and it's so hard to trust, you know, so many things. And
yeah.
And but it was definitely interesting, and I just have this weird feeling that even though this went down, even though all these guys were cheated out of money, something like this is going to go down eventually, maybe a year from now, maybe 2 years from now, and it might happen again. And I'm really this is the part of the wrestling industry that really scares me, is when, you know, you're booking guys who may not be on television anymore, but they still like that recognition. But you're putting them in a really bad position to where they deserve the money if they're going to show up, and you're going to cheat these guys. And it's treating professional wrestlers with disrespect, and you're treating the business with disrespect when you're putting stuff like this together. And if you're going to do it, you know, make sure you're not trying to overstep your own boundaries. Make sure you're not trying to overdo it just to say I can drop $25,000 to book Steve Austin. I mean, do it because you are a wrestling fan. Do it because you want to give something back to wrestling fans as well. And do it because, you know, you appreciate what these guys did. And it scares me that, you know, people like that guy could get away with this. And then he runs away out of his, you know, his hotel room at 5 o'clock in the morning and gets away with scot-free. And he's
do you think do you think he actually got away with money? Or did he ran away because he was flat broke?
I don't think he had money to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I think he just knew that – it just boggled my mind why he even did it in the first place when he knew this was going to blow up in his face.
Well, you know, at one point he put out the call for all, if you had an independent promotion and wanted to come, you were going to give free booth space. And I'm thinking, man, that's, you know, what's that mean exactly? And again, it was, you know, what you're saying, you know, and we talked about it before we came back on the air to talk about this, and I said, you know, in 18 months it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because these guys get off on these flights of fantasy, I think. And you know, it happens in the independents. A lot of the guys from my generation or the generation after us who are retired and still getting bookings like this, you'll find that the guys book you because they're I hate to say it, but they're marks for you, right? I mean, they were big, okay, well you, and you may not be able to draw them a dime in terms of their show, but they remember you. They were a big fan of yours when they were 12 or something, right? Mm-hmm. And they, you know, I told a guy one time because he come to me here, lived near Cincinnati, and was talking about, well, I want to run a show. He was an independent wrestler. I use the word loosely, you know. But he wanted to work with Matt Bourne,
right?
And I saw where he was going with this, and I told the kid, this had been a number of years ago, and I said to the kid, I said, listen, you know, you want to save yourself a lot of money. Don't book an armory and buy a lot of advertisement and rent a ring. I said, call Matt and tell him you want to hang out with him for a night, and maybe he'll take you down in your living room floor or something and buy him dinner in a hotel room and pay him, and that's going to be cheaper than running a show, because your chances are you're not going to draw. You know, it's going to cost you more. You're not going to make anything. And the whole idea is just this kid wants to hang out with Matt Bourne, right?
Right.
And I'm not. I mean, I have no problem with hanging out with Matt either. But I'm just, you know, going to this elaborate expense to do that. And I think like this guy. Well, you know, the guy in Charlotte had 30 people booked or whatever it was. But then, see, that's the other thing too. All those people that were in the Charlotte, with the exception of course the current stars. We were all high profile people in the Carolinas and Virginia over all those years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole different thing. A lot of these guys who were out there in San Francisco had never even seen the Cow Palace.
Right.
Never mind wrestle. I mean, you know, if you'd had Ray Stevens Ray has passed away, but Roy Shire was the promoter. Alpha and Seeker were stars there. You know, Pat Patterson, guys like that. You know,
and that's definitely the best thing about territorial based conventions, like you said, like Charlotte.
Yeah,
but we were just, like Adam brought up too, the one up in Indiana, which wasn't as big,
mm-hmm.
But it was a failure too.
Yes, but
and,
I think,
you know, people got put out of the hotel because the promoter hadn't paid for the hotel room.
Right. I think in that case, that promoter did get away with a bunch of money. He took that money, and he didn't pay anybody, and he left with the money.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of reports that he was locked in there counting his money during the show instead of coming out, and he realized he wasn't going to be able to cover it, so he just took it all.
I think he sent his wife to answer questions, too, after he left.
Yeah, he left his wife there.
Yeah, and she had to kind of try to tame everybody. I was just like, wow, like the stuff people will do, you know, and it's...
But the whole San Francisco thing, I think that guy ran out completely of money and just ran. But this guy in Indiana, he stole. That's just my opinion.
This is who was the guy who was going to run the national territory a few years ago, right?
Oh, the guy in Chicago.
Well, no, that was a guy. He had spent all his money because he'd won. Honestly, had legitimately won the lottery.
Right.
But he bought primetime television in cities without even running shows there.
Mm-hmm.
In the top 25 markets. But no, there was a guy, I can't think, somebody mentioned Mills, but I'm thinking there was a guy, this guy was flying guys in and renting limos, and the first couple shows didn't draw any, and then all of a sudden these guys' checks start bouncing and stuff. But this guy supposedly had a, you know, national television, and then there was a guy up in Columbus, Ohio, who went through all this and had a website set up, and he wanted to buy into TNA, and they
what you're talking about.
He had NWA or TNA painted on the hood of his car or something, and
mm-hmm.
and I just knew, you know, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is another one of those, you know, I don't know what kind of drugs these guys get on. You know,
the guy that you were talking about with the limos and the checks started bouncing, that was right here in my backyard.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, so it's almost like once a year somebody gets on bad acid or something, and, you know, and starts this insanity, and it's, you know,
you made a great
crazy.
Point though about how a lot of these guys are just marks for the people that they grew up watching, and
yeah.
they don't care how much it costs. You know, they just want to be they want to be the promoter. They want to play that role, and they want the attention. They want to be the guy who puts everything together and has the wrestlers coming to him, and it's just.
I think that's fine if you pay them. I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
If you can pay them. But if you can't.
Look at how much it works out, though. I mean, it doesn't work out a majority of the time.
Oh, you know? Right. Something that huge. I mean, it's just.
Well, this guy in Columbus, you'd have had to seen this on his website, and I don't watch videos on websites, but this one fascinated me. These were independent workers, and I don't mean to cast aspersions, but I guess that's what I'm doing, right? But this guy had a big high school gym with about 50 people in it, and he's talking about launching this company, and he's calling these guys out one by one, introducing them. You know, here's Mr. Nobody, and here's Mr. What's his name, and handing them their contracts for mm-hmm. this new Universal Wrestling Federation or whatever it happens to be. And I'm thinking, my God, what is he smoking? You know, I mean, it's just so surreal, you know, and I'm sitting there watching this whole thing and I'm thinking, this has failed before I even see it start. I just knew it, you know,
right.
But yet all these guys are buying and, you know, and that's the sad part of it too. At the independent level, there's so much, I don't know if you call them, hucksters, shysters, con men, clowns, idiots, gangsters. I don't know what you call them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but then there's all these young guys who have the you know, and I understand everybody's got the dream, right?
Right.
I want to be a big star. I've been there, done that. But, I mean, these guys pump all that false hope up these other guys' rear ends, and then there's nothing there. You know, and that's sad, too.
Right.
You know.
I think if you're going to promote a show, you better at least be able to cover the payroll before anybody walks in the door.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Otherwise, don't. Do it. Do not count
just
on the game.
Or just don't overdo it. I mean, you don't have to have, you know, like the list that they had for the show in San Francisco. I mean, that was almost like too much. Like, I don't even know how someone could buy a ticket. And just
was that crowd good in San Francisco? I didn't hear if it was.
I mean, I heard it was decent. I mean, I heard it wasn't what they expected.
It was in the hundreds. It certainly was.
Yeah, it was in the hundreds, but it wasn't nearly. They were expecting thousands to show.
Well, you know, guys, there was, and I won't, he'll remain nameless if those listening know the name, then they'll know, but I'm not going to bring it up. But there was a guy who was doing good business on a small scale in the southeastern United States a few years ago, and he was drawing crowds, 1,000, 800, 900,
nice.
Using a few of the legends, right, on these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept wanting to get bigger and bigger, and finally he did this one thing, and of course he was counting on the sale. Like you said, you got to have the money on the front end.
Right.
But he was counting, well, I'm going to do, you know. But at some point, you've got to realize there's a saturation, you know? I mean, and he was making money. The boys were getting good payoffs when he was drawing 1,000 people or when he was drawing 800 people in these small venues. But then he decided he was going to do this big thing and, you know, it was going to be a whole weekend and ended up guys getting shorted on their money and you know, and he went out of business.
Man.
You know, opposed to being able to, and there's one of the things that I admire about Kerry and Gabe with Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
They understand their market, and they don't try to get outside of that. Like you mentioned, now they ran their show in Frisco, and partly because they, even if they didn't get paid, first of all, they didn't want the reputation of canceling. Second of all, they're going to videotape it, whether there's anybody there or not, and they're going to sell the DVDs.
Right.
And
you do have to give them credit, too, for actually trying
yes.
new markets. I mean, TNA is definitely afraid of trying new markets, and Ring of Honor has gone to California. They were just in Las Vegas, and now they were just in San Francisco. And they're not drawing thousands of people, but they're still at least, you know,
well, that's like they run up here in Dayton, just north of me, and they'll do 400 or 500 people.
They actually got a pay-per-view coming there in November, actually.
Yeah, they're here November 30th. They're
yeah.
doing their next pay-per-views. Part of it's being taped here. But that's, you know, but that's the thing, too. They realize that they're, you know, they're not going to draw 3,000 people or 2,000 people, and they're not trying to, except that at the odd, well, like when they run WrestleMania weekend in the same market, you know,
right.
they'll do 1,200, 1,500 people because they've got people from out of town, out of the country, for God's sakes, that are, while they're in town, they're going to see all the wrestling they can get their hands on. but they also realize their market is the DVDs, and now to a certain degree, I had read Dave Meltzer mentioned that his response on the second Ring of Honor pay-per-view was stronger than it was on Bound for Glory.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
Wow, that would be interesting, because, I mean, I know that the biggest buy rate TNA has ever received was close to 60,000, and that was when Sting came back about a year or two ago,
yeah.
And they were hoping that the Bound for Glory later that year and then this one would top that. But
well, you know, we were talking earlier, and I don't know if you were listening to the show or, you know.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
You know, we were saying that they had the paper at, you know, that venue so heavily.
Right, 1,500
you know,
for one man.
Yeah, and then they ran in Alabama here a while back, and they did 500 or 600 people. You know, but of course, when you look at the numbers, you know, you're only gonna get a percentage of. I know somebody in telemarketing told me if they sold 1 in 10, they were just excited.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so. You know, it's plus the other thing I think with our business, what we're talking about, what we've been talking about tonight is the business is at an all-time low in terms of being creative and solid and you know, the minds running, I don't know if they're burnt out or what, but it's just the stories, you know, are not compelling. They're not wrestling angles.
Yeah.
You know, they're cartoon angles. They're I'm mad at Adam's girlfriend, so I'm trying to steal her, and Adam's mad at me, but I mean, who gives a damn?
Right.
I think people are just sick of that mentality. Like, I mean, we don't want to watch because of that. We want to watch because we find these characters entertaining.
Exactly. And of course, the crazy thing is, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, the rematch of Sting and Angle should, to me, first of all, if you're going to build it, and build it on here, the two guys who are two of the top wrestlers of their respective generations are about to meet in a rematch for this prestigious title. And have some guys talk about it. Go back to some of Angle's college coaches. Go back to some of the wrestlers that are retired that aren't under contract to somebody else that can talk about Sting and you know how the veteran and Sting's the veteran. You know, and this may be his you know and so forth and so on. Make it meaningful. If you guys remember, everybody when Benoit and Bret Hart. Wrestled through two commercial breaks in Kansas City when they did the match that they dedicated to Owen out in that same venue.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was so the numbers kept growing through the commercial breaks. How does that happen? Well, it happens because they made it important.
Well, it's funny because now they have a 2-hour show.
Yeah,
and the show still feels like it's on speed.
And by the way, guys, if you're not DVRing the unit tonight, you should be. Randy Couture is
yeah, I saw that. He's going to be on the show. Yeah,
yeah,
excellent.
Interesting.
But anyway, yeah. So I mean, so but to me, why you just you know Sting and Angle just had there it should have been interviews. They should have even touched one another.
Mm-hmm. But it's
and
funny.
It shouldn't
it's
be
funny
about
because like I talked to people after that show, and even though the rating dropped because the first two hour shows at a 1-1, the last two have done a 1-0. The quarter hour for the because that match started just at the top of the second hour, which is kind of how they're trying to do it.
Right.
That they were happy with that, and they're happy to do 1.3, 1.4 million people all together for that show. They don't see that as a bad thing because when they get feedback from Spike TV, because the Ultimate Fighter on Wednesday went head to head with the World Series at a 1.3 or a 1.4, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what is the Ultimate Fighter's pay-per-view when it comes down to grosses, right?
And that's the thing, and it's like, and if you look at the demographics that the UFC programs do on Spike TV, in 18 to 34, you know, 18 to 49, they're all above a 1, and you look at TNA's demographics, and they're all below a 1. They're like 0.5, 0.6, 0.7.
Yeah.
Doesn't even compare to UFC. But still, they get that feedback from Spike TV clapping their hands and saying, you guys are doing a great job, you're doing the kind of numbers we want to see, and they just got a new television deal, new contract. As long as they're getting praise from Spike TV, they're not going to change a thing.
That's right. You know, and the sad thing is they should be an alternative, and they're obviously not.
Yeah, they're not.
And so many of their storylines are, I mean, they're just, they do something, and then they just drop it. And it was like the night that Masaias came up through the ring and took the glass and carved up Abyss with the glass and sucked the blood out of his arms and all this craziness. And then, okay. Now what happened to that match? Well, they haven't even wrestled each other. Nobody even gave a damn.
Right. Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like the next week nobody even talked about it.
Right.
you know, and it's just
to write a book ahead, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, plus, you know, like I said, that first 2 hour, first night they did the two, had 2 hours, the first three matches had 10 people outside the ring.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it was just like a revolving door. People just, it was like being in the airport at a busy time. I don't know half these people.
Right.
I'll give you a dollar for everybody you can name that was out there, and you, I won't give away much money because you won't remember.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, that's the thing, too, guys. You know, this is not rocket science, and it has to be simple enough that you can grasp it, and then, again, if you don't give me everything, because if you do, then there's no reason for me to come back.
Right.
You know, why is the new Jimmy Smith's show, Kane, is hooking people because there's a storyline, because they don't tell you the whole story. It's just, it's a damages.
Lost
Glenn
was like
Close.
That.
Was strong show, man. I mean, my wife and I really got hooked on it. But it was because it left you hanging and gave you a reason to tune back in the next week.
Yeah.
Right.
And they don't do that. Yeah, they don't.
Lost was really like that. But it's also a good example of don't take too long for the payoff.
And well, you know, they just had the UFC, Rich Franklin against Sylvia here for the middleweight title. Franklin's a Cincinnati boy, right? A friend of mine is his weight trainer. Mike Ferguson, who's a good buddy of mine. He and I competed in Masters Bodybuilding against one another. They did over a million-dollar gate here. That damn thing was sold out in a matter of, you know, a few days.
Yep.
And of course, if you watch the build-up, they went to the gym with Franklin, up to Mike's gym, which is the power station, and they went here and they went there, and they interviewed people. Is it important? Yes, because they made it important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like I was talking about the handicap match earlier. Who gives a damn about handicap matches? There's one every week.
Right.
You know,
I don't know, maybe maybe this is the mentality now, but I don't know if people in wrestling just see that as too simple of a concept to draw fans. And I still think there's this weird mentality that wrestling fans want something more than just this guy's going to fight this guy. And that's right to a degree, but look at how simple the UFC is making it. Look at how simple they're making it look, and they're making it work, and they're doing a better job than anybody else is doing right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we are still supposed, whether it's a work or it's not a work, I mean, all movies are a work, but you're supposed to be portraying something, and we're supposed to be portraying athletes, right?
Right.
Everybody's hyped for the Colts against the Pats next week, right?
Yeah.
Because both these teams are undefeated, 7-0 and 8-0, and this build-up has started already, and every sports show has been talking about it and building toward it. I mean, and this football is not a work, but it happens this way, and I'm sure that the network numbers are going to be staggering on that show,
right?
Because it is athletic competition, you know, and. Randy Couture is one of the strongest baby faces in the world, and he's a balding 40-plus guy. But why is he? Because it's part of the story is this grizzled, battle-weary veteran against odds is being able to beat the younger guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it's that human interest thing.
Rocky Six.
Yeah.
Just like Rocky. Yeah, he's the modern-day Rocky, right?
Sure. Well, you know, here's the thing, guys. When they're talking about Angle and Nash, I was sitting here watching that last Thursday, and I said, okay, Nash is stoved up. We all know that. He knows that. The world knows that. So why not play off the truth of the matter and give him that? Well, you guys probably know George Blanda was an old quarterback for the Oakland Raiders who was a field goal kicker, but there were times when the young quarterback could get hurt and Blanda would, you know, the grizzled veteran would come out for one more quarter and take the team to victory. It's a great story,
yeah. You
know. And the story with me, instead of just the fact that Nash, you know, they're going to make him out to be a superhuman guy. No, you know, they should just tell the truth. The guy's in his mid-40s. He's stoved up. He's not sure he's got enough gas in the tank to run. But this guy, Angle, I tried to help him, and he has embarrassed me and insulted me. And you know what? I don't know if he can kick my ass, but I want to find out,
yeah.
You know, and build it off of that and make it mean something opposed to turning it into Superman versus the Ant People.
Right.
Which 9-year-olds buy, you know, not adults, for Christ's sake.
Absolutely. Adam, we got to get going. We're running out of time here. I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be on you guys. Good topics, good discussions. I like that. So.
Thank you.
Adam, I hope you passed all your midterms.
Yes, I did, but it's gonna be a fun couple of semesters coming up. But I can't wait to be done with all this fun.
And when you finally get making six figures, realize the old man needs to cut your grass for the right price.
definitely. I'll keep that in mind.
All right.
We'll see you again in a few weeks, Adam.
All right. Sounds good. Good talking to you guys.
All right. Bye bye.
Okay. Take care.
Adam Martin, guys. He's the webmaster. WrestleView.com. Go to WrestleView.com for all your wrestling news. Good stuff over there. Les.
Doc.
Now, you weren't here last week.
No, I very good, Doc. You're just catching on to that, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
You know what I mean.
I know. And somebody's saying that he's picking on Doc again. Yeah, I pick on him all the time. That's why I do this show. That's why, you know.
But you had to bail out early, and we had Brian Alvarez co-hosting for the first hour.
Right.
And then Bill DeMott came on,
and
he co-hosted.
And I want to have Bill back because Bill spent time here with me when I had developmental, and he's a good friend, and I love Bill to death. I mean, I love Brian, too, but we had Brian on when I'm on before.
All right. Bill rocks, man. We're going to have to get him back soon. But
yeah,
Bill stood in for you like a trooper and played the pay-per-view prediction game for you.
Did he?
Yes.
All right.
He made all your picks, so we're going to do we're going to find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game.
So if I win, then Bill gets the big money, and if I lose, then I can blame him, right?
Yes.
All right.
So
you
got it easy this week. Let's go, let me click up the results here so I don't get it wrong. Cyber Sunday, go ahead and start off with Rey Mysterio and Finley. And this was a good game because there was also extra points in this game. We guessed on what stipulations would win, and then we guessed on the winner of the match, of course.
Oh, well, you guys are just too much.
Yeah. So first off was Rey Mysterio versus Finley. Now, both Bill and I had went with no DQ as the match that was going to win. Obviously, it was a stretcher match. Bill went with Finley to win it, and I went with Rey Mysterio. So that was 1 point right there. Next up was... okay, this wasn't a match that we... well, of course, Matt Hardy got hurt last week.
Yeah, I know.
Couldn't fight with MVP, but they
saw that. Yeah,
they threw in an extra bonus match. Also, it was Mr. Kennedy defeating Jeff Hardy, who's the Intercontinental Champion. There was no points on that. It was a non-title match. Kane was also a bonus match. He took on MVP, and it was really a weird match. I don't know if you've seen this or if you saw the results or anything about it.
Which match?
Kane and MVP, but
I didn't see the results, though, come to think of it.
He sort of kept trying to avoid Kane and avoid locking up with him and avoid getting physical with him, and at one point he just rolled out of the ring and walked away and let a countout happen, which I thought was really weird, and the fans really hated it. Not really sure why that happened, but that was the result of that match. Next up was Triple H and Umaga. Street Fight won on this one. That was what Bill had went for. He chose Street Fight. He gets a point for that. I chose Steel Cage on that one. But he chose Umaga to win. And I went with Triple H, so that was a point for me. Next up was the ECW Championship match. And... believe it or not, I went with The Miz.
There was
it was either
Punk against some idiot.
It was either going to be Big Daddy V, Miz, or Morrison.
It was Miz.
Yeah, it was Miz, and I had went with Miz on this one. I have no idea why.
Sadly enough,
Bill went with Big Daddy V, not only to win it but to win the match.
Uh-huh.
So he got no points on that. I went with Miz and CM Punk to retain. That is what happened. That's 2 points.
Right.
Shawn Michaels taking on, of course, WWE champ Randy Orton. This ended up being a DQ match. Orton retained the title, but Shawn Michaels did end up winning by DQ. So let's see what we got here. Bill went with Mr. Kennedy to win the poll. I went with Michaels. You're not liking Bill playing this game for you, are you?
I'm lost there. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean,
but we both went with Wharton to win.
Why don't you just say you won, who won or who lost, and then you're giving me all these, this is just all running in one ear and out the other.
It is hard to
follow. I started writing this down, or I had three or four secretaries trying to take notes here.
Finally, it was the World Heavyweight Championship. Batista defeated The Undertaker, and the guest referee who won was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let me see what we wrote down for that.
Surprise.
Yeah. Bill had went with JBL to win the poll to see who was going to be the referee. I went with Austin, and we both went with the Undertaker for the win. So that was no points for us on that one. Boy, Bill, that was like 6-1, my friend.
Well,
that was not good.
We know you're God, so.
I didn't do all that well, but I mean, Bill did kind of horrible. So next time you see Bill DeMott, you're gonna have to yell at him for that.
Well, I'm gonna say, Bill, don't ever play the prediction game for me ever.
He tried to fill in your shoes, my friend. Survivor Series coming up next, guy. It's the next pay per view.
And you won't have to worry about picking the stipulations or the participants. They will be picked.
No. Just pick the winners. November 18th, guys. Randy Orton and Shawn Michaels already announced as the main event. It's going to be a WWE Championship match.
I think it's going to end up being Michaels and Helmsley against Umaga and Orton, I think.
No, this is already up on WWE.com.
Okay. Well, they change matches.
They could change. They could change.
Doc, that has happened. Not at least, maybe 4 or 5,000 times.
It has happened, but
40-plus years.
But
if you tell me it ain't going to happen, it ain't going to happen. Okay.
But as far as right now, that's what they've got up there.
But I have also heard that tag is supposed to be the match too. So
Survivor Series. That was probably my least favorite pay per view.
TNA. They've got a pay per view coming up in a week or so. Don't
they? A couple of weeks. It's a Genesis.
Yeah.
That's in 2 weeks. We'll get to, of course, talk more about that next week.
Yes, we will.
Have you heard the skinny on Nigel McGuinness and his injury, or what's going on?
Nigel was supposed to get the results today.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
he's hoping it's not going to have to take surgery. He's hoping it's just going to need some rehab time, some downtime. But it couldn't happen. We both agreed that it couldn't happen at more unopportune time.
I know, absolutely. He finally gets that title, and it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
What was it, a week later?
And he's
later?
So deserving of it. I mean, he really is.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Well, I mean, it's just he's worked his butt off. I mean, good guy or bad guy, he's worked his hind end off, and he deserves it. He really does.
Hopefully he'll get a big ovation when he comes back.
So anyway, he was supposed to, I think he had MRIs done. We've been shooting emails back and forth, and I think today I hadn't heard from him as yet. When you and I started the show, but he was supposed to get results today, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that.
He wasn't going to be here for the next pay per view anyway. He was supposed to be because we were talking about getting together before the 30th show in Dayton, and I think he was supposed to be in Japan for Noah on that run anyway,
mm-hmm.
which had already been booked way ahead of him getting the title. So
right. All right. Let's take a break, guys. When we come back, we are going to have our featured guest with us. He is from kayfabecommentaries.com. Sean Oliver is going to be with us. It's good stuff. The Guest Booker DVD is out with J.J. Dillon.
Third in the series.
You've seen it, Les?
Yeah.
Excellent stuff.
Hey, I've got it right here in front.
We're going to be talking about that and where you can get it, what it's about, all that good stuff. And we're going to see what other goodies are coming up from Kayfabe Commentaries. We'll do that when we come back. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. We're heading into the home stretch, guys. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
There's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNA. TNAWrestling.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
Yeah, baby, I know I'm hot and everything, but you just gotta check out wrestling-radio.com. They're hotter than ever before, with the latest news, videos, and exclusive interviews that you won't get anywhere else. It'll turn you on.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania, the largest arms in the world, run wild on you?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, baby. I'm gonna go right to wrestling-radio.com to hear shows like Heaven Legends, The Irish Whip, and Wrestling Weekly. It's unbelievable the amount of wrestling media they have on this website. There's so many wrestling radio shows, it will blow your head off.
If you want some, come get some.
Oh, I'm coming, baby. And it's not too bad either. It's right to wrestling-radio.com. Gotta log on to check out all the stuff going on there. They're better than ever before. With their brand new ideas, wrestling-radio.com is guaranteed to take over the internet and revolutionize wrestling radio like never before.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wrestling-radio.com, revolutionizing wrestling radio for wrestling fans everywhere.
Mr. Kennedy! Kennedy!
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
All aboard!
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest. He is from kayfabecommentaries.com, and he's here to talk about the new guest booker DVD in the series. It's with J.J. Dillon. Sean Oliver is here with us tonight.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey,
good,
Sean.
Good. And this one is more about television. than yeah. with JJ than it is. It's actually the concept is he books you a month worth of TV, one special on Saturday night leading up to a one big pay-per-view show, right?
Our yeah, show. Absolutely. Yeah, we broke from the established format a little bit with this one because in reading JJ's book, which I loved, by the way. I thought it was one of the best wrestling memoirs out there.
Yeah.
And I loved in particular his chapters that he spent on working with Pat and Vince and writing the television. And we were bringing him in to do the guest booker, and I said, well, why don't we just focus on that? It's for the time we did, which was early 90s, mm-hmm. Because that's when JJ was there. His tenure was from 89 through 96, so I wanted to use a roster that he was familiar with and a time period. The TV product, as is discussed ad nauseum, has changed so much in the last 15, 20 years. Now, of course, the focus is on the pay-per-view numbers and the actual ratings and the timeshare ratings, but back then it was just a salability issue.
Right.
It was getting people in the door for your house shows, and pay-per-view was still happening, but it was happening like four times a year.
Right.
And so the TV was you couldn't survive without it, and it was a tool that was used. It was really the fuel for the business. And so I wanted to see, I wanted to watch JJ create that, and I wanted him to take us inside all of it from the production meeting, which is something you probably don't even consider when it's shot like it's like a live sporting event. So you figure there probably isn't a lot of planning from the production end. Well, not true. He talks about the amount of detail that Vince and the others would go through, and he was a little shocked when he first got there because he's from the kayfabe era where Vince shouldn't necessarily be standing there telling the lighting guy we're gonna have a run-in,
right?
So make sure you got the spotlight ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was something that was supposed to look spontaneous, and JJ even says on the disc that if the camera's out of place and they have to scramble with the handheld, that's okay because it looks like something we're just happening upon.
Right.
He thought maybe the production was a little too slick. Or
Sean, let me just...
Sure.
I wish they would go back to some of that.
Yeah.
You know, and when I say that, when I produce television and when I host a television, normally it was a three-camera, at the maximum a four-camera shoot. And now our director would, was smart to a degree. We go over the high points and this and that. But I think now that the fact that a match has to be choreographed for television is absurd when you're using eight cameras. And I'm thinking if the director and those eight cameras can't catch it, then they need to be out on the street looking for work.
Right.
I mean, because we didn't miss anything back then, you know. Because a lot of it was too with the director is as the lead announcer on a lot of my programs. It was like basically it's like follow where I was like the shepherd dog, right? I was the guide dog, and I took you your eyes where I wanted you to go. So if I'm talking about something and it's not on one of his three cameras, then he's smart enough to know to get it there.
Yeah,
you know. And so now it's like. And to me, the spontaneity of the matches is so lost in this paint-by-numbers nonsense. Part of the creativity of the wrestler is taken away from him in that respect.
It is, and that's, again, something that JJ spent time on. There's a very interesting thing to me, something I had never noticed after watching wrestling for, almost 30 years myself. He said in the WWE's product at the time, he noticed, and he said it continues to today, on impact, there's a camera change to protect anyone who was showing a little bit of light. And that was another thing that was shown. Now we're using production to try and hide mistakes.
Right.
And he said he comes from a time where the work rate is what did it, not the production value. The emphasis shouldn't have been on a 3-hour production meeting. It should have been on getting the work rate where it should be in the ring if it wasn't there.
Right.
So the entire time I spent with JJ was absolutely fascinating, so much so that there's a segment on the disc, as you know, Les, that that we did some behind-the-scenes stuff, because in between segments, when we would just kind of have the camera on the tripod rolling and we were relighting or something, we were just sitting around talking wrestling, and he's just so smart, and he's just so knowledgeable. I really enjoyed my time with JJ. So we put that behind-the-scenes stuff on there.
That's cool. How do these production days work? Do you fly the wrestler in? Do you take him out to dinner later? How does the whole day work as far as filming day when you're doing these DVDs?
It does depend a little bit on the individual wrestler's schedule and what they've got going on. We generally try to work when they are here for stuff, get ourselves inserted into their schedule, and we'll feed you, we'll pay you, we'll feed you.
Do you bring the production to them? Do they come to you?
For the TV, you know, we started doing that audio stuff. We started by doing the MP3 audio recordings,
right.
And that was pretty easy because we can just book a hotel room in their hotel and start shooting. For the video stuff, we have lights and mics and stuff, so we need a suite. So we generally have to we'll find a hotel in the area that has a fairly large suite, and have them come in and do it there and.
Okay,
make it as comfortable a time for them as possible. Everyone, we've had a positive experience with everyone we've worked with. So
I what's exciting for me about there's three of these, of course, docs. The first one was Kevin Sullivan.
Yes.
He and I did the television booking and booking for Southeastern Wrestling when it was owned by Blackjack Mulligan and Ric Flair and Jim Crockett Jr. Out of Knoxville. And then J.J., I was one of his mentors, honestly. He was my tag team partner. And, of course, and Gabe Sapolsky in the middle. But the thing about all three of these, for those who are listening to this show, if you are in any way, shape, or form going to be involved in wrestling, you're an independent wrestler, if you ever plan to book a show or be a writer or whatever the hell name they'll come up with next week for that particular this three DVD set is yours, man. I mean, you need this is an education, and when Sean talks about JJ, I drive Doc crazy as a detail man, and JJ was even more detailed than I. I mean, Kevin, when he was on the show with us, Doc mentioned me being detailed, and Kevin said, "Yeah, I was the guy who reeled him in occasionally." But JJ is so detailed in this, but this is such a great education for anybody. It's not only entertaining and, when you sent me the first one, Sean, with Kevin, I'm thinking, why am I going to watch this? I've sat through these damn things,
Right.
But it was fascinating, I thought, and I found all three of them good. And Gabe, I think, has got a taste of old-time Booker in him. He's not your normal 2007 creative writer by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. I think he lands right in the middle, and I think that's part of his success, and I think that's why the Ring of Honor product does kind of cross age barriers. And when I say age barriers, I mean the wrestling maturity.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the keys to his success is he knows what built the product of professional wrestling, and he tips his hat to that every once in a while, and it's nice to see that.
You know, one of the things is too. Somebody was telling me that Russo. Somebody said, "Boy, he can really write." And I said, "Are you ribbing?" and they said, "No, I mean he writes a lot." And somebody told me like the pages for one show down there are like 18, 20 pages, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of bullet points, which is insane. Now to go back and talk about the simplicity of another time. For example, when Soli and I did Atlanta. In 73 and 74, we did the show together, involved the production. We set a production meeting the day of, right, before the show, and the bookers at the time were Bill Watts and Leo Garibaldi, and we would have a format, obviously, cues, we're going to come in at this time on this match is going to last this long, and then we cue out, here's a bumper, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the entire bullet points that we had was For example, okay, here's Sean Oliver against Doc Young. Okay, what do you, we'd say to Leo and Bill, what do you want out of this match in terms of us? Well, we need to push Sean because he's new in the territory. And, of course, we want, and we are making notes in the margins mm-hmm. of our format. And our format is 2 pages, period, in the story. And that, you know, and now it's gone to 18 pages.
Well, I mean, is it the chicken or the egg, do you think, Les? I mean, do the people today need that much help? Or
no.
Or have the powers that be just, are they trying to turn it into
yeah,
a sitcom?
They're trying to recreate the wheel, you know, mm-hmm. and I think the wheel being round really works well. I, you know, the people who listen to the show constantly probably heard me say this a million times, but to me, it's a movie that wins an Academy Award in 2008 for a drama will have the same basic foundation as a movie who won an Academy Award in 1940 for a drama, right? I mean, the clothing of styles will change. Obviously, there's more special effects. The language will be different, you know, the hairstyles. But the foundation is still the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so much of the creativity, it's micromanaging now.
Mm-hmm.
And the creativity, you know, we had to be creative as wrestlers then, too. And as commentators, we had to be creative. And that's, Taz and I talked about this a couple years ago, and I was at a taping here in Cincinnati. We were just talking. And I said, you know, I like headsets or earpieces because then I can get my time cues from the director.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I want somebody putting words in my mouth or not.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
I know how to create, you know.
Right.
I admire Jim Ross for being able to make the transition from our era to this one and still hold his credibility.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, is TV covering a sporting event or creating it? I mean, I guess that's the basic question. I grew up in a time where the cameras were there covering what happened. The fans were involved and invested in the match with a passion. I don't mean the passion where you're climbing over the guy in front of you to get your sign on TV.
Right.
I mean the passion where you're climbing over the guy in front of you because you want to punch Roddy Piper in the face.
Yes.
Because of what just happened. That kind of investment, the kind of investment where you see it, and thank God the younger people can see it on 24/7 now, where people are crying when Bruno is getting his brain stomped out by
mm-hmm.
Killer Kowalski. That kind of investment, and the cameras are just there to cover it. Today, they create it.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, it's like interviews, you know? If I'm booking, this is, let's say it's 2007, this is 1977, and I'm, Sean Oliver does good promos, so let's insert him. He's got 2 minutes and 20 seconds here for this spot with the lead announcer or whoever happens to be doing the interviews that day. Okay, Doc Young's not a good promo guy. Okay, we need to get him a manager.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's allowed. I mean, you hear guys. Well, one of the things, and I've worked with all three generations of Ortons, and sadly enough, when I hear Randy talk, I know it's not Randy.
Right.
I know
yeah.
it's some guy who has never taken a bump in his life. Who is? It's like. I'm reading a series of books by Lee Child. It's their action adventure by the character's name is Jack Reacher. But you know it's a Lee Child novel because they all have that same flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem with part of the television now is it's not, Cornette is, I mean, here's a guy, I stick a microphone under his nose and I say, okay, this Friday night in the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, you've got so-and-so, and I don't have to do anything past that.
Yeah,
you know, you let him go. You let Flair. It's we had Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle on the show the last time. He was talking about when WWE was in Mobile, which is where he lives. He said, "I'm walking through the back, Les," and he said, "I see Ric Flair with a script. What's wrong with that picture?"
Holy Moses!
Right?
Yeah.
Wow!
Mean, you give him. You tell him what he needs to say. Here's the points you need to make, Rick. You know. We used to do 125 promos up in Raleigh on Wednesday afternoons between noon and whatever time we shut down.
Right.
And all we had was bullet points.
Yeah.
And we rolled through, and there were two-minute, 22nd spots, two to a show that went to each market. And that, I mean, that might be Mulligan, Blackjack, Flair, Greg Valentine, whoever happened to be on the baby faces and heels. But and everybody just went out there and did their thing.
Yeah, and the scripted formula, it does nothing but water down the individuality of the performer. It's I'm sure, I don't want to oversimplify, I'm sure Vince has a whole host of things he's got to deal with, and I'm sure there are very good reasons that he could give you for having scriptwriters come in to do this, and maybe they're valid for this point in time and this generation, and I'm just not seeing it. But I feel that had Don Morocco been handed a script in 1982 when I was watching, or any of the guys you mentioned, Valentine, Flair, I don't think you would have had the passion for the product that caused the tremendous boom through the 80s that we had if you had kind of a generic writing for everybody. Everybody kind of used the same words, mm-hmm. like you see now. I don't want to oversimplify, but I would bet dollars to donuts that would have been the case. If you squash the individuality of these amazing performers that I grew up on, what would I have had to grow up with?
Exactly. You know, and I've said before, I said, if you could resurrect Papa Hemingway and bring him back to the grave and give him to me as a writer, and say Spielberg, you know, give me those two guys to write, they're still going to have to sit down with Kevin Sullivan and Jim Dillon and myself and Jim Cornette or who it is, you know, and we are going to draw the parameters in which and tell them how to write what they're writing, because as creative as they may be, they don't understand the wrestling business.
Exactly, and they don't understand what's in the mind of the individual who's getting up there in front of the microphone.
Absolutely.
You can't have the same guy write Jake Roberts' promo that's going to come out and write Tito Santana's promo. It's two different approaches, and because these guys open up their heart on camera, and it's a little piece of them that comes out. Yeah, it's contrived, and we're trying to sell something, but it's a little piece of that individual's mind,
mm-hmm.
and that
absolutely, you're absolutely
and you can't
right.
you can't replicate that.
We're speaking with Sean Oliver of KayfabeCommentaries.com here on Wrestling Weekly.
And you know, Sean, I think that's a unique thing for the young people that are wrestling fans today to get a chance to see these three DVDs, mm-hmm. especially the and not to take anything away from Gabe, but of course if you watch the Ring of Honor product, you see how Gabe puts a show together basically, but to Kevin, who booked WCW. Well, Kevin booked a lot of places. He was one of the bookers in Florida. He was booked, as I mentioned, Southeastern Wrestling, and JJ has booked in several territories as well. But to really see how these guys put a show, put things together, I think is as fascinating as the product itself.
No, thank you. That's how I felt.
That's really cool, Sean. What were some of the I guess this was an imaginary promotion. Is the scenario you set up for JJ in this new DVD? Were these real wrestlers? Of course, from like the early 90s. Was it just WWE guys, or was it just a mix?
What we did was we wanted to cull wrestlers from an era that JJ was familiar with when he was working and writing at the time. Of course, you've got to match the chef to the stew with this product. And, a great deal of work goes into that to make sure we give the right scenario to the right person. So with JJ, we wanted him to write early 90s-ish, but we didn't want to give him the WWE roster of the time because, not that JJ needs a crutch, but just subconsciously, if things worked, you may start to subconsciously do things you did already.
Right.
And we wanted it to be completely unique. So what we gave him was we wanted him to work up to a supercard. So what we did was we put together an inter-promotional supercard. So there was no way you could have seen those matches in the 90s, like the headlining matches, Hogan and Dusty mm-hmm. tagging up to fight Flair and Arn. Then just below that, you've got Sting taking on Bret Hart.
Okay.
So that's what we gave him to work with, and he gets us up to that pay-per-view with 4 weeks of wrestling, both an A and B weekly syndicated show, as well as a Saturday night primetime special right before the event.
It sounds really cool, and I guess what the listeners are wanting to know is, okay, how do we get our hands on this now?
KayfabeCommentaries.com. Come check us out. We also, we sell through all the major wrestling distributors out there. They'll have it shortly. We have it available now. They'll have it available in a week or so.
One thing I want to mention about the Sullivan thing that jumped off the DVD at me, that was the first one that was put out. And when Kevin, Doc, was able to, he started with a roster, but he was able to fire guys and put guys on, and he tells you why. And he and JJ both cover how they deal with personalities and egos. But the thing that Kevin also mentioned, there'll be no ref bumps.
Right, that's
and
true.
And I thought, Jesus, that means that 99% of the independents in this country and the major companies are out of business. You know? But, I mean, that's, you know, that's the uniqueness of two good performers. You can have a clean finish, and if they're good performers, without all that gaga, too.
Right.
Yeah. He said that early on. It was early on in the disc,
and
he was booking, I think it was a title change match, and he said, right in the middle of the ring, no ref bumps, no nothing. And
right. Last thing I want to tell the listeners before we move on, we're going to have J.J. Dillon on the show, so we're going to give you guys time to go ahead and buy the guest booker DVD and check it out, because when we get J.J. on the show, all we're going to talk about is content of this DVD. So if you want to know...
One thing Sean mentioned, too, that the next one is coming out probably in March. I won't. He's negotiating with one of my favorite creative people, and I won't mention until we're sure. But you said you were going to produce a couple other DVDs before then. What's going to be the theme and the content there?
We're going to have two new series that we're going to introduce. I'll go real quickly because I know you guys are running up against 10 o'clock, and we've got... You Shoot is what our next one is called. It goes on sale November 13th at our website. You Shoot, whereas Guest Booker focuses on the booking and on the business, You Shoot's a little more interactive and fun. It is the first shoot interview conducted entirely by the public via webcams and emailed questions.
Wow.
And we get the more outspoken people to elicit a healthy response, and the Honky Tonk Man was the first subject. And let me tell you, the amount of – so we couldn't even get through in 2 hours. We went over 2 hours because we could not even get through all the videos and emails that he got. And it is wild and so much fun. So the You Shoot series will put the more outspoken people out there, put them on the hot seat, and they will answer anything you send in. And then the other series, which goes on sale in December, I'm happy to announce for the first time. You guys get the exclusive because we just shot it this weekend. It's called My Side of the Story, and it focuses on the great wrestling feuds through history, through wrestling history. We get both participants of that feud. We interview them separately, but ask them the exact same questions and edit their answers next to each other to see how they remember the time they spent together.
Wow.
Then the last part of that disc, they sit down in a room and they talk about what they just did on camera.
Excellent.
That's great. That sounds really, really
good. And the first one will be out in December, and it's Tito Santana and Greg Valentine.
Let me say this, Sean. You have, you know, there's obviously a million books and DVDs out there on professional wrestling, but you've come up with some very unique concepts, and I think not only just entertaining, but informative and educational as well.
We have one rule at Kayfabe Commentaries. Make sure it's never been done before.
That's a good one.
That's what we do.
Sean, I want to thank you for being on. Check it out, guys, and get the new Guest Booker DVD before JJ gets on the show so you know what we're talking about when he gets here. KayfabeCommentaries.com is where you can get all that stuff. Sean, I want to thank you for being on, man.
Thank you so much, guys. I always have a great time when I talk to you.
Sean, looking forward to the new series coming out, too.
Great.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Sean Oliver, guys, kayfabecommentaries.com. It's going to wrap it up, Les.
All right.
It's almost ECW time on the East Coast.
Yes, it is.
Enjoy that on Sci-Fi if you're going to watch that. We're going to be back with you next week, and we're going to have the November schedule is going to be up on our website in a couple days. It's WrestlingWeekly.com, guys. Check it out every day for all your news and keep updated on the show.
Do you know who we're going to have next week?
It's not 100% concrete, so it'll probably be up tomorrow.
All right, very good.
All right, so we'll see you next week, guys. Thanks.